This is Bedside, a podcast series on a mission to debunk sex. I'm your host, Tatiana, and each week we'll uncover stories, ideas, routines, and expert information to help guide you on your ever-evolving journey of good sex. We believe that through democratizing sexual wellness, we can shift cultural taboos and make way for authentic and limitless access to pleasure, joy, and connection to the body. Hey guys, and welcome back to another quickie. So, coming in real hot, I've got a question for you. What is between you right now and the sex or the relationships that you want to be having? I know this is a loaded question, but it's been something that's been coming to mind lately that I feel is really important to unpack here on the podcast, because it's such an important transition to witness where you're currently at and your desires that you hold and the space and things in between those that you feel are holding you back or keeping you stuck in place. And so when I think of this question, what's between you and the sex or the relationships that you're wanting, I really think about the work that goes behind those questions and really examining what are those unique factors and ways that we can work toward unblocking these things. And I just want to, like, before we even get into any of the topics here, I just kind of want to honor that concept, because there is a lot around that, and there's a lot of grace and gentleness and space that we ought to hold for ourselves when we explore things like this, because I think sometimes they can be really easy answers, but other times they can be really, really loaded with a lot more deep learned behaviors, past events, traumas, inner child links to all of these barriers, if you will. So I really encourage you, kind of before we get into this, to really just hold space for yourself in this and just listen curiously and engage with this curiously at first. I think sometimes we go so intensely into wanting to do things or seeing the real intensity behind things and either going forth into them or shying away because they scare us. So I encourage you to find important facilitators and healers and therapists if you are somebody who can kind of witness right off the bat, hey, I think this is a lot deeper work here, and I'm willing and I'm at this place where I really want to go and explore that because I'm freaking ready for better sex and better relationships in my life, and I want to move past these blocks and patterns and behaviors, and I'm seeking clarity here. So I just want to hold you here and just witness you and say, let's go into this with utmost curiosity. So speaking in a bit of a broader sense here and a more generalized sense here, I think that the number one component to creating better intimacy and connections within your life that you're truly craving takes one really, really vital sense of awareness and surrendering. And that is that good sex and intimacy is, first and foremost, absolutely possible for you. You are absolutely worthy of that. And number two, it is fundamentally a choice. It is a choice. And this is exactly what I want to dig into today. Now, of course, if you have experienced any sort of abusive relationships or trauma, like I was talking about just a moment ago, this is excluded. Obviously, those circumstances are not a choice. And another important emphasis as to why I think working through blocks and patterned behavior and places where you feel really stuck is so vital to do with and in tandem with professionals. So that aside, let me tell you a really quick story here. I was once telling a friend that I was really sad one day and that I couldn't get out of bed for some reason. And this was maybe a few months back. And when I told her this, she was so shocked. She was floored. I think we were FaceTiming and I just saw her mouth kind of like drop a bit. She said to me, "You of all people?" And then I was shocked at her reaction, thinking, whoa, I guess I didn't make it so obvious that I have hard days too. And I got to reflecting and I got to thinking about how I really work so hard on making really life-changing decisions for myself and choosing the things that I want for myself every day. And this ties back into the things that I feel like I deserve and that I'm worthy of. And now, I mean, I'm by no means perfect. I'm a human being just like you, but I do work every single day on choosing how I can make the best of my situation, of my circumstances, of my joy, and of my pleasure. And that is directly reflective of my desires and my sensuality and how I show up for myself in the bedroom. Now, it wasn't always the case this way. This is something that I learned and I challenged for myself to do. And I did this through my own mindfulness practices. But I remember when this friend brought up being like, "I can't believe that you of all people could have a bad day." She almost looked at me like I was superhuman. And I didn't take it as a negative comment. I actually took it as a note for myself to consider, wow, how are the ways that I'm not showing people that I'm also human too, right? It's not a bad thing, but it just made me recognize that I don't always choose to lean into the things that make me sad or give me fear. But when I do, I'm just human. And so what I really want to emphasize here is that healthy habits outside of sex are directly influential to healthy habits and ideas around sex and intimacy, that I feel that I deserve it and that I get to create it for myself. And that's why I emphasize the work of having pleasure practices almost every time that I come on the podcast, because I see that is absolutely influential of our neural pathways, of physically and chemically changing the patterns and behaviors, and intrinsically changing our patterns of self-worth. So building a great life, building a great sex life, is all about doing the work. I think one of the biggest misconceptions when we see and witness people who are thriving around us is that, you know, it just comes to them. Oh, they were lucky. They just happened to find such a great partner. Oh, you know, they're just lucky that they have such a good sex life. That's not true. Those people wake up every single day and do the work. And it's because they choose these things for themselves. They hold their worthiness. They hold themselves accountable to their self-worth. If you're somebody who deals with chronic pain and it affects your sex life, right? That's something that you actually don't choose. Chronic pain is something that unfortunately a lot of people live with, and unfortunately a lot of people are affected by it in their sex. So when I talk about circumstances where you have choice and where it feels like maybe you don't have a choice, I want to paint for you how we can better reframe our outlooks. So if you are somebody who does deal with chronic pain, how can you reframe your outlook on pain or pleasure? How can you seek pleasure without pain, right? Like, look outside of the box that you've created yourself of what pleasure looks like. Look outside of that and say, wow, how can I find pleasure in so many different ways without just emphasizing on this little dot of pain, right? How can you introduce creativity into this equation, into your pleasure and all these new ways? And how can you choose to visit your pain maybe so that you can understand it more, right? Therefore, if you understand it more, if you don't shy away from it every time, you can learn to work with it better, right? So no, you didn't choose to have chronic pain, but you can choose how to look at it and how to experience it and what the importance of it is in your life, right? Witnessing that communication that your body is having with your mind and then creating around that. And it really segues me into a similar notion of setting yourself up for success, right? So kind of going back to this idea that I think this huge myth that we think a lot of people are just lucky that they have a great partner, or that they're just, you know, it's because the way they are that they have good sex. And so while, yes, we have these perceived notions, I really want to go back to this point of self-worth and that we really have a choice and a voice in this self-worth. And we can expect, of course, that these things change overnight. It's really about the microscopic changes that add up into something big. And what a freaking lesson that is, because I think so many times, I'm not sure about you, but have you ever had those moments where you're like, oh, this just isn't happening for me. I've tried so hard. I've put in all the work. I'm doing all the right things. It's just not happening. And, you know, maybe it's about getting a new job or connecting with a mentor or nailing that podcast interview, right? And then suddenly it all kind of sorts itself out, right? When it rains, it pours. And you're like, bam, that really fell out of the sky. But it was really because you connected with your old bosses, or you linked up with that one person who put your resume on so-and-so's lap, and then all that work you put into your website gets you the offer. And it's those little incremental decisions that you made for yourself over the past 6 months that led up to that offer, right? And so what an emphasis I want to make on microscopic changes. Because if you're somebody who says, you know what, my self-worth is something that I'm really struggling with right now. I don't see my worthiness. I see the desire that I want to have, but I don't know if I'm deserving of it. Well, what are ways that you can change that attitude every day in some tiny, impactful way that maybe one day is going to lead up to that larger aha moment? You're going to wonder, oh my gosh, how did I even get here? But it's going to be all the little microscopic changes that you put in. And it's really not about mulling over what's not working. And I want to make sure that like, I really want to put a huge red flag on that. We can get so stuck here and just being like, well, this isn't working. And it's really about seeing what we can add, right? Like, not take away, not what's not working, right? Not pigeonholing ourselves in there, but saying, okay, I witnessed that's maybe not working. How can I bring more of myself over here, right? Like, let's kind of leave that where it is if I'm not really ready to go into that, but how can I bring more of myself over here? If you're saying, oh my gosh, I'm struggling with connection with my current partner. We aren't having as much sex as I want to have, you know, instead of pigeonholing there, how can you bring more of yourself somewhere else, right? Maybe you bring more of your sensuality to the ways that you hang out together making dinner. Maybe you bring more of your sensuality to, I don't know, like deciding to jump in the shower together and just get clean, not making it anything crazy sexual, but just enjoying each other's bodies and experience of that. So this kind of brings me into a little bit of a silly story for you. And I'm sharing this because it's honestly funny to laugh at now, but it goes back to the concept of setting ourselves up for success and why it's so important and relates to really bringing more of yourself somewhere else. So this story, it was so real at the time. My partner and I, a few years ago, we used to live downtown in New York City, and we lived in a neighborhood very close to Little Italy. And one of our favorite things to do was to have Friday night date nights and like go out to like a banging restaurant, have a great time, wind down from the week, you know the drill. But for some reason, we noticed that if we got specifically Italian food on Friday nights, we'd get into this pattern of like bickering, right? And we don't really bicker. So this was a really weird observation that we made, and it took us a long time to figure it out, but it was really funny when we figured it out. So we started to just like subconsciously have this rule that we couldn't go to Italian restaurants on date night. And we realized really after one or too many bowls of delicious spaghetti, oh my gosh, I cannot explain how good the food is in New York, in Little Italy. We would have really one too many bowls of spaghetti, and we weren't setting ourselves up for success. Why is that? Because on Friday nights, we were always exhausted from the work week. And then we'd go have a super gluttonous meal on top of that. And it would make us really hazy and groggy and extra tired. I mean, you guys know the feeling of like when you just have such a delicious carby meal, and then you're just like, I need a couch right now. And it really led us to nitpicking a lot. And it always, this is one of the most important parts of the story, it always led back to sex. And that's because we'd go back home, we'd be feeling bloated and tired and irritated from the week and the meal we just had. And we would have been looking forward to having a really nice date night, maybe some intimacy. And then we'd come back And then we'd just be so tired and we'd want to couch and put our feet up. And thus was the feedback loop. We'd like get angry at one another because we weren't able to give each other the attention that we wanted and that we each craved for one another. And so the irony is that actually since this realization, my partner is confirmed gluten intolerant. So that is like a huge tell-all sign. Like, he does not even go near gluten these days because it irritates his gut so much. And even though I'm not diagnosed intolerant, I've realized that I just feel better when I'm not eating those foods in certain circumstances, like Friday night date night. Like, it just gives me major brain fog. And so since we've achieved our cravings for more intimacy, I share this story because it was a habit that we had to make a better choice around. We had to set ourselves up for more success around this with a better choice, right? And so date nights on Fridays could still happen, but we would decide to get maybe more light protein-centered dishes, or we'd make time to be intimate before dinner because that way we could really kick up our feet post-meal and just relax and not really worry about it or get into anything. And so this is why time and time again, I really emphasize the importance of checking out where our sexual self-care practices are working in our lives and how they honestly are so integral to our sex lives. So I challenge you, if you're wishing to get more intimate, if you're wishing for a better sex life, if you're wishing for a deeper relationship or partnership, whatever you're craving, whatever you're looking for, take note. Observe your habits and your patterns and get in touch with your worthiness of deserving an incredible dating or romantic or intimate life with yourself. And finally, make an active decision to choose that for yourself in little ways every single day. Who will you be today when you wake up in the morning, when you grab your phone instantly and you go absorb yourself into the world of content? Before you do that, can you stop yourself and just ask yourself in the morning, who am I going to be today? Am I going to be motivated today? Am I going to be passionate today? Am I going to be in my pleasure today? Am I going to be mindful today? What is one part of yourself that you're going to bring into the day? Because it's an absolute choice, right? And if you can use that as your guiding point, it's going to enhance every aspect of your life, sex and relationships included. And from there, there's an opportunity to create systems and practices that will set you up for success, that will set you up for the sex life that you deserve and that you crave. So you define it and you take charge of what that means for you. And so I want to leave you with that. I want you to explore the curiosity around that. And I really, really hope this sets you up for some space to just create an incredible life ahead of you. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. With that said, I'll catch you next week. Thank you for listening to the Bedside Podcast. If you liked this episode and want to follow along with similar stories and interviews, be sure to check out our Instagram at The Bedside and thebedside.co online. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and of course, share with your friends. It's the best way you can support us and our good sex mission. Thank you for listening.